This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, journalist Helene Stepinski talks with us about growing up in a family of crooks. She's written a memoir about her family titled Five Finger Discount, A Crooked Family History. Here's how the book opens. The night my grandfather tried to kill us, I was 5 years old, the age I stopped believing in Santa Claus, started kindergarten, and made real rather than imaginary friends. Helene Stepinski grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey. She began her career in journalism at her hometown newspaper, the Jersey Journal. Helene has written for the New York Times, New York Magazine, and People. Helene, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Well, tell us about your grandfather, Beansy.
Beansy. He was sort of the evil patriarch of the family. He's by far the worst person in the book. Everybody else is sort of a small-time criminal. We've got bookies and people who, you know, took stuff home from work, things like that. But my grandfather was a pretty hardened criminal. He was a career criminal. He'd gone to jail dozens of times. He was in and out of Trenton State Prison his whole life. He'd killed a man and breaking and entering, robbery, you name it. And, of course, when I was 5 years old, he tried to kill us.
The photo used for the book's jacket, that's him as a boy.
That's him. That's Beansy as a boy.
He's got his fists raised. He's looking for trouble.
He's got sort of an evil smirk on his face.
So what happened to this kid? I mean, why did he go wrong?
Well, he was like one of 11 kids. I think he was the third born. He was just sort of lost in the shuffle, I guess. I'm not sure, because there were people in his family who did bad stuff too, but he was by far the worst. He had a brother, Frankie, who used to stand outside City Hall and wait for married couples to come along who wanted to get married, and he would tell them not to pay the high City Hall prices, and he would take them to a friend's basement where his friend was dressed in a judge's robe, and he would marry them, quote-unquote marry them, you know. They weren't legally married, and he charged them half price. So, I mean, you know, Uncle Frankie was a crook too, but in a smaller way.
Yeah.
Grandpa was really the big crook.
Yeah.
I don't know what went wrong. You know, I talk about that in the book. What did go wrong with Grandpa?
Yeah. He married this lovely woman, your grandmother, Pauline,
mm-hmm.
a good woman.
Right.
How did she hook up with him?
Well, you know, it took me years to figure that out as a kid. It sort of went in stages. First, I realized that my grandmother's mother, so my maternal, my maternal great-grandmother was killed by her husband in 1922. She was murdered. And my grandmother found her in bed, dead. And I think her father died soon after that. He was arrested, and then he died a couple of years later. And she was orphaned at a pretty young age. She was a preteen, I think, or teenager. And I think that's why she wound up meeting my grandfather. She had sort of no parental supervision at that point. And that's how she met him. Marrying him was a whole other thing. You know, you meet the bad boy, you go out with the bad boy, but you don't marry him, you know. Grandma, turns out, got pregnant. So the family liked to say she was a victim of a splash pregnancy. That was sort of the thing in our family.
Mm.
And so, you know, she had to get married. Back then, you know, you got pregnant, you got married. So.
Yeah. That poor woman having to live with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, and the other question is, why didn't she leave him? You know, and I asked myself that for years, and finally realized what the story was. He threatened not to kill her if she left, but threatened to kill her children, including my mother, if she left. And so she couldn't leave.
Yeah.
She never left him.
Helene Stepinski is our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking with her about her memoir, Five Finger Discount, A Crooked Family History. And I'm going to pause here to bring listeners word of a severe thunderstorm warning for Coles County in east central Illinois until 3:45 this afternoon. At 2:48, National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm 6 miles west of Mattoon, moving northeast at 25 miles per hour. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning for Coles County in east central Illinois until 3:45 this afternoon. Well, now back to the interesting stuff. The family tree. You mentioned grandparents, great-grandparents.
Right.
How many generations go back?
Well, I guess the book goes back to the turn of the last century, so it pretty much starts in sort of the 1890s and follows the family through there. The first people to come to the United States, to Jersey City, came over then. They came over from Italy, Russia, and Poland, my family. So I follow them over. And I say that they settled for Jersey City, not in Jersey City. Jersey City was sort of, it was a railroad hub for Ellis Island. When you came through Ellis Island, three quarters of the people who came through Ellis Island went on to Jersey City and got on a train to another place, Chicago, you know, San Francisco, wherever. They just passed through Jersey City. My family, of course, stayed in Jersey City, so they settled for Jersey City, not in it.
And Jersey City was, I don't know, maybe is, it seems like it was a town full of crooks.
Yeah, I mean, it's known for its corruption. It's, I think it's studied, you know, in some political science classes for its political corruption. It started around the same time, around the turn of the century, and continued right up until the 1980s when I worked for the Jersey Journal. I was a reporter there, and I covered the mayor's indictment and conviction. So,
what's the reaction been to Five Finger Discount in Jersey City?
Well, it's been mixed. I don't say such great things about Jersey City. I mean, if you read the book, you see I sort of have a soft spot in my heart for it, in a way. But I don't mince words. It's an ugly place. It has been, and probably not as ugly as it used to be, but it's just not a pretty place. And so there have been some letters to the editor, both good and bad. You know, I used to write a column there, which was pretty controversial. So the people who used to write the letters against me about my column are now writing letters about the book. So it's kind of funny. I'm seeing these names pop up again.
Well, if you go home, keep your head down.
Yeah, I do.
What was Jersey City, New Jersey, like when you were growing up, and when did you realize it was an ugly place?
Well, I mean, I think when you're a kid, as long as you're happy, you know, it doesn't really bother you so much. I had good parents, so I was a pretty well-adjusted kid. When I was growing up, it was probably at its low point. You know, it was the early 70s. Most urban centers were really going through a hard time. New York wasn't a pretty place either. But Jersey City was pretty ugly. It was entering a post-industrial phase, you know, companies were starting to move out. There was toxic waste everywhere, high crime rate. So it was not a pretty place. It's actually better now than it was then. You know.
You said you had good parents.
Yes.
So you kids had a sense of right and wrong, you and your siblings?
Yeah. My father, the worst thing my father would do is bring home what we called swag from his job. He worked at the cold storage warehouse in town, and he would bring home lobster tails and steak and things like that, the stuff that fell off the back of the truck, you know. So that was the worst thing my father ever did. And my mother was really the moral compass in the family, you know. She definitely taught us right from wrong. You didn't do anything wrong because mom would really give you, you know, what for.
So. Yeah. So how did you get out of there?
Well, I went to New York University, which was a 10-minute train ride. There's a PATH train, it's like an underground subway from New Jersey to New York. And so it's very close. It was a commute. And when I went to NYU, that's when it hit me that not every place was like Jersey City. You know, I'd sort of had a taste of it, but being out of there every day sort of convinced me that, you know, I had to get away. And I did. I eventually moved out.
Yeah. Was it at that point, too, that you realized that your family was kind of crazy?
That's when it had started to dawn on me, yeah. But I sort of blocked it out. I didn't really think about it much. But then I got the job at the Jersey Journal, which was the hometown paper. I reluctantly took a job there. My father died, and so I stayed in town to be with my mom.
Yeah.
And that's when it really started to hit me. And that's when I really wanted to get out, because I would be covering stories, and family members kept popping up. You know, for instance, I was covering a mafia trial, and one of my cousins came up in the FBI, secretly recorded FBI tapes. So it started to really hit me what was going on, and I just had to get out of there.
Yeah. What led you to write the book, and how does the family feel about it?
Well, the family's been great, actually. I've only had a couple of instances. One cousin called me and complained, actually, about the portrayal of my father, which I thought was unusual because it's actually a very loving portrait of my father. And then I have an aunt who wrote a nasty letter to the local paper about it. So she's Beansy's only surviving sibling, so I think she's embarrassed. She's of the generation where you don't talk about that stuff, you know. Mm. You just keep it quiet. But the family's been great. I went to Columbia's writing program, Columbia University's writing program, and everybody was writing about their family, and they were writing these boring stories, you know, about their father playing golf on the weekend and ignoring them, you know, and their mother having scotch at the end of the night, and, oh my God, she's an alcoholic. And I said to myself, people had normal lives. Look at my life, you know. And that's when I start. That's when the professors start to say to me, you know, I would write a story, and they say, "Oh my God, you need to do more of this," you know. And they sort of pushed me in that direction.
I suspect growing up in Jersey City and having the family that you had has made you a good reporter, a tough reporter. Has it had some negative impact?
Well, it's the same. It's the other side of that coin, you know. I mean, I am hard-edged. I am tough. They can send me out on an assignment and interview someone tough. I interviewed Victoria Gotti, for instance, and didn't blink. You know, it's not a problem. But in the same sense, sometimes I am a little too hardened, you know. It takes a lot for me to cry when I do cry, you know, really. It's a flood, but it's so you have to push me pretty far to get a reaction from me. So that's good and bad.
Yeah. You're a good storyteller, a good writer. You got plans for another book?
Yeah, I got a couple of things in the works. I've got a few different things. I lived in Alaska for a year, so I've got some stuff on that I've been working on in the past. I might resurrect that, or I played drums in a band for 2 years, and thinking about writing about that, and thinking about going back to Italy to where my family's originally from. I'd love to write about that. But I've got a baby. I've got a year and a half old baby. So I want to wait till he gets a little older before I do that project.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for talking with us this afternoon.
You.
Best to you and your family.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Helene Stupinsky has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. Her memoir is Five Finger Discount, A Crooked Family History. It's published by Random House.